Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast, two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and today is Sunday, April 2nd, 2017, and you're listening to episode 12.
A dozen episodes in.
12, that's right. That's not even Baker's dozen yet, right? That's next week.
About time to monetize this bitch.
That's right. Rather than pour money into it, let's see if we can squeeze a little bit out of that rock.
Absolutely. I think, all kidding aside, I enjoy doing the podcast anyways, but, maybe one day.
Maybe one day. So what's going on? Anything good?
I'm on vacation this week.
Uh-huh.
Or I'm doing a staycation, I should say. So not really leaving.
That's the best kind.
Yeah. Colin is off this week for spring break, so figured I'd take the week off, get some stuff done around the house. Kelly and I are going downtown this Thursday for a night.
Yeah.
Next weekend, going to the Red Wings game with my dad. Second to last game at Joe Louis Arena, though, so
yeah,
kind of bittersweet. It's one of the oldest arenas in hockey, and it's going to be very well missed. It's almost up there with like Tiger Stadium when they built Comerica Park.
You said that before. I think that hockey's pretty big around there, so that's I mean, you'll have memories from either going as a kid or any of that. That's going to be bittersweet for you, or what?
I do. My first hockey game I remember going to was with my uncle Mark at Joe Louis Arena. I remember the Red Wings were playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we won 4-0. So it's a good night.
Oh, good.
And Stevie Y had a hat trick.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Stevie Y, they
basically built a new place, and they're moving over there. Or
first off, Steve Yzerman is Stevie Y.
Okay.
So, and you know who Steve Yzerman is, right?
Oh, this is not a big hockey town. So,
that's right. You guys don't have it real. Hockey team.
We have the Caps, but they fizzle out. They fizzle out before it means anything.
Well, that's true. That's true. So they're building Little Caesars Arena.
Pizza.
That should be up and running by the fall, because the Red Wings are going to be playing there, as well as the Pistons, who are moving from Auburn Hills, where they currently play.
Yep.
Moving down, and they're sharing the arena with them downtown. So it's kind of cool because there'll be more traffic in that downtown area, especially with the Pistons being down there now. But at the same time, it's really unfortunate that I think they're going to end up tearing down the Palace of Auburn Hills, which, I worked there a dozen years ago. It's a really, really cool arena, and it's
a lot of history.
Yeah, and it's pretty state-of-the-art still, too. I mean, they've pumped a lot of money into that, even in recent years. So it's too bad it's going to be torn down, but, life goes on.
Well, hey, you'll have to make sure you go to the new place and, see what's going on over there, and, you'll be able to compare it some and see, and, you never know, it might be a little bit better, even if it doesn't have the memories.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be great, but it's, it's still the same, Joe Louis Arena, the seats, it's very, the rows are very steep, and the seats are really small, and you're kind of sandwiched in there, but it's all part of the experience. You piss in troughs in the men's room instead of having individual.
Like at the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah. I mean, there's really just like a long, 12-foot trough on the wall that, you stand shoulder to shoulder with somebody you've never met before and just whip it out and go. So,
Joe Louis, he was a hockey player too, right?
Joe Louis was a boxer. Oh, kidding. My God.
I knew that. I was testing you there.
Funny. So what are you up to?
Well, I've been craving like crazy. Last week we had the Ben & Jerry's ice cream with the rum in it, and, we were out. So I made do with what we had, mixing up some other ice cream in there. So I heard through the grapevine on Facebook that you guys were going to be trying the red velvet, I think, and red wine that seemed to be on the docket for the weekend. So how was it?
We didn't try it, Robert. Kelly had this idea that we needed to lose weight, which, it's called spade a spade.
Yeah.
Probably not the worst thing in the world. But, the problem is we had neighbors that were a negative influence on us, because they started, some neighbors across the street, they stopped eating carbohydrates during dinner. And Kelly was like, David and Amy, they don't, they don't eat carbohydrates during dinner, and look how great they look. And so now we're not allowed. Carbohydrates have been banned from the household. So no Ben and Jerry's for now. But we did vow that on Thursday when we go downtown, there's not going to be any limits. So we might have to figure something out.
Well, that's, you know, that's one of the tricks to, you know, any good weight loss plan is to allow yourself a little bit of a break here and there, because otherwise it becomes, you know, even more difficult. And I've struggled over the years going kind of up and down with the yo-yo. I'll lose and then I'll, you know, I'll let myself have that cheat time. And then, you know, pretty soon it's like 2 days in a row and then 3 days in a row. So then I need to kind of rein it back in again and get back to, you know, being better about it. So I've lost some and then I've gained some back and then I lose it and gain it back. So I'm kind of at the bottom end with a little bit of an upward trend up. So I need to be more mindful of it. So carbs are definitely a big thing for us. We like, you know, bread, and my son's the same way. Anything with bread in it, you know, we can devour it. So but speaking of carbs.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
Delicious carbs.
Yeah, so I would hope that, you know, given our segment here, what are we drinking, that beer is not counted as a carbs in the, you know, Robert Phillips household.
So I mean, obviously you have to have some carbs in your diet. I mean, vegetables have, green lettuce has carbohydrates in it. Yeah. So does beer. And I feel like this is one of the healthy carbs. So I'm giving myself a little bit of an allowance just to make sure that we do our fans justice, and we have beer to share while we're doing
it. It's for the show.
You know, I don't want you to drink by yourself because then you're an alcoholic. And
do I have to turn the lights on, though? So what are you drinking then?
So I have a breakfast stout by Founders Brewing Company out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's pretty tasty. It's 8.3% alcohol by volume. We've long believed in using only the best ingredients, knowing they result in the best flavor. With a beer like Breakfast Stout, a harmonious combination of oats, chocolate, and coffee, it's crucial that each of those ingredients are of the highest quality. Our hometown neighbors at Ferris Coffee and Nut embarked on an ambitious journey to win back their role as roasters of the coffee used in Breakfast Stout. Much like we did in our early years, this meant questioning the status quo and making a bold commitment to only produce the very best. This is the story of Breakfast Stout. So the Breakfast Stout is a, well, obviously a stout, but it's double chocolate, coffee, and oatmeal. And it's a pretty tasty little guy there. And an 8.4% alcohol by volume. It's got a little bit, 8.3%. Yeah. It's got a little bit of a kick, too. So
that's close enough.
Well, nice. I like my beer like I like my tires.
You know, I've been drinking a lot more of the darker beers lately, and
I saw that you've been sending me pictures.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, just to make you proud. But I'm not swaying completely away from, you know, the hops here. But we went earlier and picked up another 6-pack of the Vanilla Java Porter from Atwater that you raved about so much, and I had a couple of those a few weeks ago and really liked it. So we got more. Picked up some more of the Hawaiian coconut porter that I had a couple weeks ago. Got that in a 4-pack, and then something else that I picked up. And also had the devil's milk this week too. So it's been a banner week for old Robert over here.
Good stuff. All good stuff.
Yeah. Well, yes. And that devil's milk, I think I mentioned it last week too, that the size of the bottle was practically like a bottle of wine. So we split it. It was probably, 24 ounces, I think. So it was a good size.
Now you're referring to dragon's milk or devil's milk?
You know, I mean, when am I ever going to get it right? I think I called it something else when I talked to you. I talked to you last time. I called it Ghost Story or something.
So we're talking about Dragon's Milk, my New Holland, right?
I never get it right.
This stuff.
If I don't have it in front of me, I'm going to screw it up. Yeah, Dragon's Milk. That's it. I have had devils. There's something else that I had with devils in it. It's probably what got me confused. But no, we did have that, and it was quite tasty. And I think that's the one that's got it's like a bourbon barrel type taste to it. So yeah, you could definitely taste that.
It's the one I got inebriated while we were recording the show.
Yeah, that's all right.
And speaking of Dragon's Milk, so earlier I tagged you on a post on Facebook. They have the, and I didn't even know this, Dragon's Milk has a reserve, which there's a picture of. This is now, this is from Big Valley Liquor Store, who in Sterling Heights, Michigan. So it's, you know, I can get to this place in 10-15 minutes. But they have one with raspberries, with toasted chilies, and one with coffee and chocolate. And we both had our arguments for which one we would go for first. I said the strawberries because strawberries are healthy. But then you also, you know, made a good point that chocolate also with red wine is been shown to have healthy effects on your health as well. Now, I don't know if it's dark chocolate though, and we'll have to find out.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the website there, but they've got a couple different ones, and that looked like it might be something that I'd have to look for over here. I did see the dragon's milk, you know, in the six packs and the regular bottles when I was at Total Wine earlier. But anyhow, I'm gonna go in that same direction here. And this week I've got something that listener Lori told me about, and it's the Danzig Baltic Porter from Devil's Backbone Brewing Company, which they've got a lot of different beers that I've tried in the past, but this is the first time I've had this one, and I like it a lot. So this one says it's a Baltic-style porter that blends a strong English porter with a Germanic lager approach. This fairly robust, strong black lager has notes of chocolate and coffee with hints of caramelized sugar. Black roast chocolate. Our trailblazers stray from the beaten path into a world of robust and daring beers featuring bigger, bolder flavors for fueling your spirit of adventure. So this one's got 8% alcohol by volume, so it's good. They're a local brew here, so I like it a lot. So I'm not sure if you can get it up there, but it's tasty. So I'll be adding that to Untappd here in a few minutes.
I already got mine up. I hit level 2 for...
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Oh, for the darker style level?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've logged at least 10 either stouts or porters, so...
Moving on up.
Yeah, you know, it's leveling up here.
Well, as you mentioned Untappd, or I mentioned Untappd, so where can people find you on there?
You can find me at PhilRoberts33.
And I can be found at RobertK328. So the big question this, well, I guess it's big for me because I'm pretty excited about it, is I sent you the preview for the new movie coming out in September, Stephen King's It. And we went to lunch with my sister today to celebrate birthdays. So my sister, her husband, myself, and Melissa all have birthdays kind of around the same time. So we got together and discussed who was going to go and who wasn't. So I did send you the trailer for it. And I think your exact words were, "Oh, hell no."
Well, so I said, "Oh, hell no," but at the same time, I'm totally going to see it. it is nostalgic to me because I remember seeing the original one. I've read the book years ago, so I'm always been a Stephen King fan as well, both his books and the movies they've made out of his books. So, I will be seeing it. My loving wife, Kelly, will not be seeing it.
Yes.
But, you know, I'll go with somebody.
Yeah, same here.
Whether it be my dad or a friend or somebody, I'll see it. And I think it's one of those that you really need to see in the movies, too.
Yeah, I think, having the big screen where it's completely pitch black and, you know, you get the right sound. I don't know if they're going to be doing it with, you know, any of those immersive, movie style theaters where, you know, it feels like you're actually there. But I'll definitely go see it too. And Melissa's the same way. She's the "oh hell no." She doesn't like that kind of thing. And my mom said she'd go, you know, as a kid, she was always reading Stephen King books. So she's definitely into it. And I've read the book too, which is surprising because I have a hard time with, you know, I guess that many pages, but I pretty much from the start, I was all the way through it. And it's a pretty amazing story. So I think they're going to break it up into two different movies. And it says right there, part one, Losers Club. And a coworker and I were talking that they'll probably split it. So, you know, it'll go through them as kids and then it'll end. And then, you know, most likely transition will be part two would be, you know, when they're adults and then coming back to face it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, though. Might as well make a series out of it, out of it, no pun intended. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to be on my list of movies to see come. When does it come out again? September?
September.
September 8th, 2017.
I mean, at first I thought, you know, with it being in two movies, that was going to be kind of a bummer because, you know, a lot of times there's a big gap in between it and how much you're going to remember, whereas if it's like one long movie, but the story is so, it's so wide that, you know, there's, I don't think there's any way that they could put it all into one unless they made it, you know, at least 4 hours. And I don't think anybody's really going to sit through that. And, you know, they can certainly churn more tickets if they make it a little bit shorter and spread it out over two shows.
Well, that's the thing. When you take a book and turn it into a movie, you're always going to miss out on things. Because, I mean, if you literally made a movie out of a book word for word,
yeah,
it'd be days long, right? So you're going to miss out on things. And I thought the same exact thing when I noticed they were going to make it into two different parts was, okay, well, the bummer is we're going to have to wait for the second part to kind of finish the storyline. But at the same time, just the fact that I know we're going to get more of the storyline and more of the details,
yeah,
you know, by having it in two separate movies, I'm okay with it.
I've got the audiobook for it on Audible as well, and it's about 45 hours. So I'm curious to see how they get through it. I'll give it another listen before, you know, before it's time to go and see it and be ready. But I'm excited.
Yeah, that's why I get the abridged versions of audiobooks.
Yeah, you can't do that with it, though.
No,
you're
going
to lose a lot, I think.
I did it with like the Steve Jobs biography and a couple other things. With nonfiction, cool. I think it's all right to kind of get the abridged version, but fiction stuff.
Yeah, so big day tomorrow.
Big day tomorrow. Opening season opener for the Tigers tomorrow.
Yeah, same for the Nets.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not in Detroit, so our home opener is going to be Friday against Boston. But tomorrow we're playing the White Sox in Chicago at the Guaranteed Rate Stadium, which I think is just the absolute worst name for it's either Guaranteed Rate Field or Guaranteed, I don't know, but it's just the dumbest name for a baseball park that I've ever heard.
That must be a website or something, and somebody that's bought the naming rights.
Yeah, probably some. Yeah, I mean, some, you know, they're gonna go with whoever pays the highest bid when it comes to the naming rights and stuff, not which,
even if it's stupid,
has the best ring to it. But they're playing the White Sox. I think we have Fulmer who's going to be pitching, which is good to see. Well, no, you know what? It's either Fulmer or I forget if Fulmer is pitching tomorrow and Verlander's pitching Friday or vice versa. That's going to bother me now until I find out for sure.
That's what they did here in Washington. So Steven Strasburg is going to pitch Monday. And then normally, well, at least the last year or two when Scherzer's been there, he's the one that has pitched opening day. So they've kind of flipped it now where Scherzer has moved to the end of the rotation and they're doing a four pitcher rotation, sending one of their pitchers, you know, down a level and holding on to an extra role player, I guess, just in case. I don't know if there's somebody that's hurt that they're thinking that they're going to need that, but I don't think you can do it long term. I mean, it's way too long to have all those extra games in there. So hopefully it's just a part-time thing and then shake it up again. But I'm excited, ready for some baseball.
So who are you playing tomorrow?
We're playing the Marlins, but it will be home. But, you know, as luck would have it, I don't have a way to get out of work because I have other times off. So it's 1 o'clock too. So I'll be able to listen to some of it at lunch and, you know, listen to the rest probably at my desk through the At-Bat app.
Yeah. So I'm just lucky that this week I'm off. So I'm able to be home to witness the game live on television. And it is Verlander who's pitching tomorrow. So we have Fulmer.
Oh, good.
We have Fulmer pitching on Friday for the home opener, which is just fine with me because Fulmer is young, but hasn't even come close to hitting his prime. And, you know, Verlander's kind of grooming him to kind of be the number one down the road when Verlander's not going to be able to pitch anymore. So, you know, it'll be an exciting game. And against Boston, too, who's projected to have a really good season. So,
yeah, well, I've seen a lot of people are calling for them to be number one, at least, you know, in the AL East, but then also continuing on and, you know, challenging whoever comes through the National League, which I think everybody's saying the Cubs again, but, you know, that they're picking the Boston Red Sox to be in the World Series.
Actually, I saw one projection was Boston and the Nationals in the World Series.
I'll take it.
And then there's been a couple that have kind of called for a rematch from last year's World Series. So another Cubs-Cleveland Indians match. But, you know, for my benefit and then for yours as well, I'm really hoping that's not the case.
No.
To me, a Tigers-Nationals World Series would probably be the best case scenario for both of us. Because even if yeah, obviously one of us would lose, one of us would win. At least our team will have made it to the World Series.
Just getting one step closer. And the Nationals have been close the last couple of years. Not quite there yet. So maybe this will be the season.
Yeah.
Maybe they're strong enough to be able to do it. But I would have felt a lot better with Chris Sale up there.
I'm really interested in seeing exactly what they're going to do to differentiate this season from last season. Because the Tigers are, they're definitely a team. They're definitely a team that has, in my opinion, the talent to be able to win a championship, but at the same time, they just haven't gotten there. They haven't been consistent enough to really get there. I mean, last year it was a pretty big letdown, not even making it to the playoffs, because the Tigers are generally a team that makes it to the playoffs. And you can argue that Cleveland having the stellar year that they did and being in the same division as us is why we didn't. And at the end of the day, yes, that is. But at the same time, it was a little bit disappointing. We kind of fell apart at the end when we were really, really fighting to get to a wild card position. We just couldn't do it. Yeah. So.
Well, I think that, you know, they're hoping for a healthy Jordan Zimmermann, which was a Nationals pitcher until last year, which, you know, we were really sad to see him go because he had some. He had some good times here, and he's a Packers fan growing up in Wisconsin. So, you know, my son and I always liked to root for him, as did, you know, Melissa. We just kind of had that hometown thing here with being a Nationals fan, but then also being, you know, a Packers fan as well. So we felt like we had a connection to him that way. And then, you know, at least he goes up there. But I know he had a great start to the season and kind of fell apart a little bit with injury. So
yeah,
hopefully if he'll stay healthy all year, you know, that might be the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I like Zimmermann. I just haven't had a chance to like him as a Tiger yet, which is the unfortunate part. So I'm really hoping he stays healthy and that, because again, we haven't really done much to our bullpen. So you know, our starting pitching is going to have to be super strong and consistent. Yeah. You know, another thing that we really love to talk about here is food.
Yes, and they go together.
Yeah, so when we have the opportunity to mesh them into one conversation, all the better. So have you heard of these AAA baseball teams who are going head-to-head in kind of a food-related baseball competition?
It's like the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs and the Fresno Grizzlies. I'm not sure exactly where. I think one's in Pennsylvania, one's in California.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Fresno's in California. But you know, both these teams have attracted a lot of attention over recent years for their kind of bacon and taco-related mascots. So they've really kind of taken it a step further, and they're having an actual competition here. And you can go online and you can vote for whether you are rooting for Team Bacon or Team Tacos.
Which would you? Well, let's read each one here.
So what I'll do is I will be Team Bacon. I'm not saying at this point whether I'm voting or not for Team Bacon, but somebody has to represent bacon, and bacon's great.
Okay.
So bacon is its own food group. Quite simply, bacon is the greatest food in the history of ever. Nothing matches the sizzle of the skillet, its succulent aroma, and its salty deliciousness. Bacon isn't everything. It's the only thing that matters in the Lehigh Valley, a.k.a. Bacon USA. We dare you. Try stopping at just one strip. So, pretty good sell. Pretty good sell.
Yeah. Well, here, the taco side says, the taco capital of the world. It all started with food trucks. Simply, you can't talk Fresno without talking AAA baseball and taco trucks. It's almost as if the diehard fans of each truck are supporting their favorite baseball team. Tacos and baseball are who we are. Hence the slogan, we are what we eat. So, if you believe that, you're voting tacos. And if you believe yours, I guess, you're voting bacon. So, hashtag Team Bacon or hashtag Team Tacos for a chance to win prize packs.
So which team are you pulling for, Robert?
I mean, honestly, I'd go Team Tacos. There's a lot of different things you can do with tacos that you can't really do with bacon, although you can always put bacon in your taco. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think tacos, you're going to get a bit more bang for your buck with a taco.
So right now, just so you know, the score is 52% of the vote is with bacon.
Oh, no.
48% of the vote of those out there are voting for tacos right now. I got to agree with you. I'm a taco guy. I'm Team Taco all the way. To me, taco is its own ecosystem of food. I mean, you can stuff pretty much anything you want into a taco, including bacon. So
that's true.
I think we'd have to go bacon.
And you could eat, you know, you could eat taco without the bacon, so it would live on its own. But bacon, you know, you got to have with something else. So I think you get more bang for your buck with the taco.
True. True.
And I just voted, and I tweeted about it at the same time. So
I'm not logged into anybody's... Twitter, so I just canceled out of it.
I had to go through all my whole, you know, two-step, two-factor authentication, so, but I made it work.
I'll vote to support taco.
Well, yeah, part of me is not really surprised that bacon is its own. I mean, if you, you know, although I think you tend to see more bacon, you know, items around and you know, bacon smelling. There's a beer I saw earlier, too, that was, you know, maple bacon beer, and I don't know that I've ever seen a taco-flavored beer.
I want it. No, you haven't. Plus, I mean, if you lay out an individual ingredients here, so we break it down to basics here. You have a strip of bacon next to some lettuce, some tomato, a pile of sour cream, some ground beef, and just a taco shell. You're probably going to grab the bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So I think that taco is trying to stack the odds against itself by teaming up multiple ingredients to defeat bacon. So I would say if we're talking individual ingredients, bacon, but since we're talking about
a whole thing,
tacos in whole, I might have to go tacos. Bacon tacos.
There's fun stuff here on the website, which is bacon versus tacos, baconvstacos.com, if anybody's interested in looking at it. But they've got, you know, their different Twitter answers and their different Instagram answers where people are using the hashtag. So maybe I'll pop up here soon, but it's kind of fun.
I mean, I like bacon simply because I'm allowed to eat that right now.
Well, you can have a taco, right? There's no carbs.
Sure.
You know?
No, I just got to scrape everything out of the shell and eat it with a spoon.
Taco salad, I guess.
Minus the taco shells.
That's true. But that's fine. Yeah, you put the ground beef and the, you know, sour cream and all that stuff in there. That'll be all right. It's
not a taco salad without taco sauce, all right? I mean, you know, at the end of the day, who... What is this all for? I mean, who really gives a shit?
Nah, that's all right.
Whether you like bacon or tacos. No.
Well, if you've got a preference for bacon or tacos, let us know on our listener lines, 530-882-BOBS.
Thank you for not quizzing me on the number this week.
Well, what's Bob's? What numbers?
2627, of course.
Yeah. I noticed that you had a phone number.
Yes.
Yeah. Good old elderly listener.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I have to go easier on her this week because she's watching the kids overnight on Thursday, so Kelly and I can go downtown.
She's a very nice lady.
She's very nice. She's very nice.
The other thing that happened in baseball this week, too, did you see the bees that swarm the Padres and Rockies?
Yeah, that was insane. It's crazy because everybody just kind of dropped down to the ground. And then you realize that they're on the ground because there's a swarm of bees kind of buzzing around the field. And I think at some point you hear somebody from the stands yelling, bees, bees.
Yeah, the video of it's pretty wild. I've got a little bit of audio here. I'll play it.
Uh-oh. We're getting a swarm on the field. Look at everybody's hitting the deck. The bees again? Oh, my gosh. I've never seen that. Bees on the move, apparently.
The bees!
That's a good scare. I've never seen this in my entire life. I've never seen that. Bees. That's like a nuclear bomb drill. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it started to come across from behind home plate.
That's wild. And the video of it's pretty crazy because they're, like, you're right, they're just sitting there and all of a sudden they go straight down. And then off to the side, depending on the camera angle, you can see the bees all swarming around. And there was a microphone nearby that they were, it was almost like the microphone was a hive. They were... just, I mean, huddled all around it, just swarming on this. It must have been the heat or something for that black mic with the stand and everything was just absolutely covered with them.
Yeah, I would have been gone. I'd be like, okay, this not worth this for a spring training game. See you guys.
Yeah, they eventually left, so.
Hit the Padres for a delay of game.
The Padres are all right.
No, I'm all right with the Rockies or the Padres. But, you know, it's crazy because, you know, this time it was bees, but there's been times like the famous Randy Johnson pitch where he just nails a bird as he's making the pitch.
A week or so ago, it's been the 16-year anniversary. I saw a lot of it on Facebook with people replaying it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I showed it to Kelly earlier, and she goes, well, is that considered a strike then? I'm like, well, he struck the bird, but the batter had nothing to do with it. So, good question though. Did they count that as a ball, or what?
Yeah, we'll have to.
Do they just have him pitch again?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we fucked that one up. Let's try again. You know, reset.
Somebody fire that bird after you pick it up.
What if, even better, if he hit the bird, then the bird flung at the batter, and then the batter hit the bird?
Would he get to walk?
Which didn't happen directly. What James McCann, who is plays for the Tigers.
Of course he does.
Not too long ago, he swung and hit a foul ball and hit a bird who was perched up on the net behind him and just took the bird out, too.
First pitch, look out. This is, oh, my goodness. A foul ball hit a perched bird at the top of the net, and he is dead. Feathers flying everywhere, and it looked like the Randy Johnson spring training pitch from about 15 years ago. Holy smoke.
Funny he mentions that.
Yeah, it's fun. I watched the video of it, and I didn't quite get what happened at first, and then they did it a little bit slower where, I mean, it's like the perfect storm between Randy Johnson and this particular one where, you know, in Randy Johnson's, the bird actually flies in front of one of his pitches, and this one, the bird's just sitting up there on top of the, you know, I guess the screen that they've got to keep people from getting hit by foul balls, and he got hit by a foul ball, so he took one for the team, so to speak.
He really did. You never know what could have happened. That ball could have popped above the net and hit an innocent bystander who was in the stands. But the bird risked its life and lost its life for the greater good.
That's all right. It's a bird. It was probably crapping on somebody's hat while it was sitting up there. So I'm all right with it.
But I've seen crazy things. I've seen, what was it, 1984? I forget who it was. There was an instance where a stray cat had wandered onto the field, and whoever grabbed the cat, this cat just ripped into him and he was like, kind of, God, I forget who it was. He was dancing around the field though, trying to get this cat. And then he drops the cat and the cat just like arches back and just shows its teeth and snarls at him. And, I've seen squirrels on the field.
Cats are savage. You know, they don't put up with crap, you know, and they're so unpredictable. You know, you just kind of, you're petting them and they're all nice and they start scratching you. So I wouldn't be surprised that a cat that's out there kind of scared as it is and you go to pick it up and he has no idea who you are. So
no. I mean, they're the scratch worst. You. For being honest, they're the worst. Fuck cats.
I know you guys don't have any pets outside of the Jesus fish that's, you know, rest his soul, but no pets in your house.
I still miss Jesus fish even today.
Poor guy.
No, I'm just kidding. You know, He had a good life. Had a good life, even though I stopped taking care of him years ago. Yeah. Speaking of animals, so Kelly recently has let me know that she's
here. It comes
maybe opening up to getting a dog. We have, this is the thing. We have a dog. Elderly listener has our dog, and she's lived there for a number of years because she was terrible with kids.
Oh.
Holly is a vicious little miniature dachshund, and I love her, but she can't be near my kids for any extended period of time. So she lives with my parents. So it's one of those things. We might want a dog again, but at the same time, we feel kind of bad getting a dog. So we're like, well, do we have to wait till Holly dies then? And then,
how old is the dachshund?
She's like 11, I think.
You got a long time.
Those little fuckers live forever, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, no. I mean, you know, we didn't get rid of Holly. We weren't copping out.
Right.
When we got rid of Holly, it was because she, you know, she bit Colin when he was a toddler, and we said, okay, Holly, see you later.
Yeah.
It'd
be good for the kids, you know, to have a dog around, and particularly if there's one that they can, you know, now that they're both a little bit older, that, you know, you get it at the right time, and one that's, you know, not a little, you know, nippy dog like that, but, you know, something that, you know, is, it tends to be good with families, and you know, I think that's something that they would enjoy.
We were thinking maybe a pug or something like that, but
yeah, no, they're fun. Knows? They're not known to be, you know, problematic with children, so that'd be fun.
No, I don't think so. And they're hideous little dogs, but they're the cutest things in the world.
Coming through the neighborhood the other day, we saw a puppy pug that was down there. His little tail was curled up and his face smashed in, and you know, it's cute as a puppy, but yeah, they're not exactly the nicest looking dogs later on, but you know, they're good to have and they'll love you anyway.
Well, yeah, they're one of those dogs that are ugly, but they're so ugly that they're adorable. So yeah.
No, they're fun. I think the boys would enjoy it. We do have a crazy news story here that, you know, keeping along with the food situation that we always seem to be in, but, and this one, fortunately enough, is out of Canada, not the U.S., so I think we have that going for us.
So, Sorry, this is hilarious. McDonald's employee accused of smuggling 80 pounds of McNuggets in his anal cavity. Robert, what do you think about that?
I don't know. That stinks.
So, well, here.
This guy seems like he's, you know. Well, let me see here.
Look at this guy's mugshot. If he looks like a guy who would stick stuff up of his ass.
He's probably the shittiest employee this McDonald's has ever had.
Hopefully his boss isn't too anal about the quality of his work.
A 31-year-old Andy Brown was arrested by the Ottawa police after a cavity search revealed 4 condoms full with frozen chicken nuggets hidden in his rectum. He's got a really, is he selling these again or what? I mean, or is he just taking home? I mean,
I don't know. So, I mean, he's like a, he's a McNugget mule. Is that what the world is coming to now?
Yes.
Well, he couldn't find any coke to put up there. So he just, maybe he's in training.
That's right.
He's in training. So the guy that runs the drug lord that's running the operation is like, all right, go to work. Shove 80 pounds. Listen, I need you to put 4 condoms worth of McNuggets up your asshole and bring it to me. I need you to prove that we can fit all the drugs when you come across the border next week. He's Russian, too. He's Russian.
They're always Russian. The store manager noticed 6 months ago that large quantities of nuggets were missing, Mr. Knox told reporters. We installed additional security cameras at various strategic locations throughout the restaurant, and we're finally able to identify the problem.
So this is what I don't get. Yeah. Why up his asshole? Do they not allow? So do they not allow like pants with pockets? Does he not have a coat that he leaves? Do they have security guards at all the doors where the guy couldn't just like when nobody's looking?
Yeah,
like just grab a bunch of nuggets and walk out the door, or have one of his buddies come through the drive-through. Maybe I'm just
put it in the trash. They take trash out constantly.
Maybe I'm overthinking this, but he was shoving it up. So the story literally says that the search of Mr. Brown's locker revealed a large jar of Vaseline and dozens of unused condoms.
That's nasty. We're extremely shocked when we saw him going inside the freezer with a handful of condoms and lubricant.
Amazing.
So his mugshot, like you said, is definitely one of those where you can look at him and think, you know what, he steals nuggets. And based on the expression on his face, he probably still has a few left in there.
He's Canadian, so isn't his head supposed to separate out of at his mouth like in South Park, though? He's got a mullet.
That's definitely a show, an album art for this week. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
You really can't. I blame Trump, though.
Wrong.
It's always wrong. His fault. Wrong.
Rigged. Story's rigged.
We figured we'd close the show with that, but we realized at the same time that we probably couldn't end completely on that. So,
well, I mean, this story's a little bit too shitty to finish the episode.
So, we figured we'd leave you with one that would put a smile on your face. So I'm not sure exactly where this little girl lives, but her name is Raina, and she's got a new friend.
Yes, and that friend is a, what she's calling a robot, is actually a broken down water heater that has like a little panel at the top of it with 2 circles that look kind of like eyes, and she thinks it's a robot.
She's confused. So here's a young Raina talking to her friend, the robot.
She is just adorable, too.
Yeah, so she's kind of looking for it, you know, to respond to her, but it doesn't. So eventually she starts reaching. There she is.
Oh, she's hugging it.
She's hugging it, patting it on the side.
Aww. I want a robot. Oh, if she was my daughter, I would be dragging an old broken water heater behind me to take home to put it in her bedroom right now.
Keep her up at night.
No, she loves the robot. That's the thing.
But at night, you know, it would be staring at her from the corner, and, you know, you'd be in there taking it out before you had a chance to even get to bed.
I don't know. I feel like Kelly stares at me when I'm sleeping anyway.
Probably. So. What did I do?
Or she's kicking me and telling me to roll over so I'm not snoring in her face.
Turn over. You're not snoring.
I tend not to snore when I'm awake, so that's good.
Well, that's a good thing. All right. You have anything else for this week?
Nope. That's it. I think we've cashed ourselves out. How about that?
How about that?
Catch me outside. How about that?
But the good news is, in between episodes, you can reach us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast or at thetwobobs.com.
You can email us at hello@thetwobobs.com.
And we have a phone number, don't we?
Yeah. I noticed that you had a phone number.
All right. And pop quiz.
Oh, damn it. 530. No. Yeah. 530-882-BOBS. Again, 530-882-2627. Nailed it.
That's right. You got it again this week. So again, as Rob said, reach out to us. Let us know what you think. And we're open to any show ideas for future episodes and feedback on any current ones.
See you next week.
All right. Good night.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.